Welcome to my podcast, Mindsploring. I'm Tegan Rabina, a women's life and relationship coach who specializes in helping other women, just like me, attract the relationships they deserve, have the confidence to step into their full potential, embrace their imperfections and authenticity, and be the change they wish to see in the world. In these episodes, I'll talk about relationships, communication, boundaries, balance, mindset, growth, intimacy, compassion, and so much more. You'll walk away from each episode with a deepened awareness of your habitual thinking and new perspectives and tools that will allow you to create positive change in your life today. You can explore all the ways to work with me on my website. And with that, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, guys. Welcome to my podcast, Mindsploring. So today I'm going to be chatting about fear. I did a poll earlier in the week on my Instagram account, and fear is what you guys asked for. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of a chat about the purpose of fear, what it is, the sources of your fear, things like that. And then I'm going to talk about how it affects your relationship with yourself, how it can affect your relationship with yourself, and also how it can affect your relationships with others, specifically your intimate relationships with your partner. So without further ado, I guess I'll just jump straight back into it. And I want to preface straight away that fear is somewhat of an uncomfortable emotion. It doesn't necessarily, you know, make you feel like you're vibing when you're kind of in that state of fear. But just because you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean that the emotion is bad. Doesn't mean that the emotion is wrong, and it doesn't mean that the emotion doesn't serve you. So straight off the bat, I want to point out that fear doesn't serve us when we run away from it. When we see fear as something that we should avoid, that's how we stay in a place of dissatisfaction. We avoid growth, and we aren't really doing what feels in alignment for us. And I want to start, continue what I'm talking about right now by explaining the actual, the actual purpose of fear on a biological level. So the human brain is, you know, I don't even know, hundreds of thousands of years old. I could just be talking out of my ass right now, but it's old. It's old. And it hasn't, you know, the evolution of the human brain is minute over long periods of time. And long story short, the brain is designed to keep you safe. It is wired to protect you. It is, it is wired with that negative cognitive bias that I have spoken about before, where our first instinct as a human being is to focus on the worst case scenario. And this is a natural biological response, because if you assume the worst of things, it keeps you safe from danger. So if you think about this, going back to like the caveman days all that jazz. And you think about you going to like a berry field to pick berries, and you assume when you hear bush rustling that it's a pack of butterflies or something, and it turns out to be a tiger and you get eaten. You can see that because you didn't assume the worst of the situation, you didn't take the necessary action to protect yourself from harm, and you end up getting eaten by a tiger because you thought it was a pack of butterflies that was rustling the bush. I don't know. I think that was a pretty good example. We'll see how we go. Let me know. But basically, when you understand that that's how the brain is wired to behave, it is wired to think about the worst case scenario. It is wired to keep you safe. And what the brain defines as safe is what it has reference to already. So things that you've already done, things that you've already achieved, things that it already knows. So if you're wanting to do something different or achieve something you haven't achieved before, or pursue something you haven't pursued before, or put yourself out there in your relationships and gotten vulnerable when you haven't done that before, because perhaps you weren't encouraged to do that as a child, it's going to feel fucking scary. Like, it's straight off the bat, it's not going to feel like, you're going to feel that fear inside of you. And if you are reactively like living and reacting, I guess, to your fear, it's going to feel, if you really slow down and connect with your fear, it does, like, the body's response is, I'm going to die. Like, it is, in essence, that is the feeling that you're feeling. It's like you are unsafe. You are not, you're not safe if you keep pursuing this. That's the response that's going on in the body. So for me personally, when I find that I'm feeling quite paralyzed by fear or I'm finding myself overthinking things, what I like to do is I like to slow down. I like to, you know, stop what I'm doing. And I like to come home to myself and ask the simple question, is anyone going to die? If I don't meet this goal that I've set for myself, is anyone going to die? You know, does, and like, that's a really good practice to bring into your life, especially if you're pushing yourself right now to leave your comfort zone and potentially chase a goal. Don't let fear hold you back because of your perception of fear. And if we are not aware of our perception of fear, our perception is that we're going to die if we don't achieve this. That's the biological response. So really, really important thing to cover straight off the bat, because if you're not aware of how you're responding to fear, you're going to avoid it straight away. It's going to be your response to go, oh, that feels bad, I'm not going to try. And in your brain, you'll also probably connect other things to it, like, you know, your response to fear, like the feeling of fear will bring up other attachments, like, I feel fear because I'm not worthy of this. I feel this fear because I'm not good enough to do this. I'm feeling this fear because I'm not made for this. When in reality, you're feeling the fear because it's your biological response to feel that when you're pursuing something that is outside of your comfort zone. And what I mean by that is it's outside of something that you haven't done. It's outside of the scope of what you are yet to achieve in your past and present. Just because you haven't achieved something in the present or the past doesn't mean that you can't achieve it in the future. But if you let yourself live not guided by fear but controlled by fear, you will stay in a place where you end up going through repeat cycles where you don't end up seeing anything new in your life because you're afraid, because that fear response is holding you back. So that's the kind of the negative side of fear, I guess, and like how it can have a negative impact if we're not aware. But the thing is, once you become aware of fear and you stop avoiding it, and the reason we avoid it is because it feels uncomfortable. And as I said before, discomfort, it's kind of like naturally society and our conditioning and our brain, we kind of connect anything that feels uncomfortable with wrong, bad, wasting time, you know, you're not worthy. We kind of attach it to deeper meaning. So we think to ourselves, as I said, the reason that I'm feeling this fear is because I'm clearly not made for this. I'm clearly not good enough to do this, X, Y, and Z. So it's not actually the fear that's the issue. It's the other attachments as well that we're putting onto what fear means. So it's, and the thing is, when we have these really negative attachments to fear, that's why we avoid it. And then when we avoid it, we actually end up controlled by it, because what we avoid, it grows. It's kind of like we're making a mountain out of a molehill in our minds. And the more that we try and avoid something because it seems hard, the bigger it seems to get. So that's why it's so important to recognize how your attitude towards fear, and ask yourself, get real with yourself, ask the question, is fear holding me back, or am I using it to my benefit? So for me, from a young age, I think I used to think I couldn't do certain things until I guess I challenged that and was like, well, actually, how do I know? And when I realized that the reason I had been avoiding that was because of the fear. And as I said, it's not necessarily the fear. It was those attachments of like, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I'm doing enough. It was those attachments to fear that was actually holding me back. So when I started doing stuff and realized, oh, I actually can do this, that's when my relationship with fear changed. And I realized that fear connects us to things that we're passionate about. It connects us to things that we want to do. If you're afraid of something, it means you're fucking interested in it. It means that you want it. It means that you are connected to it in some way. So when you shift your perspective on fear and you start to see it as a friend instead of an enemy, that's when it loses its power over you, and you can actually work together with your fear to guide you in the direction that aligns for you and in the direction that feels good for you. So even, for example, when I first moved to Canada, it was one of the scariest decisions I ever made. I remember when I applied for that working visa and I was shaking. I remember I was sitting on my computer and I was going to submit my visa. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I just felt this fear in my body because it was fear of the unknown. I had never moved overseas, like where I knew no one, by myself, away from my family, not really knowing why I was doing it as well. So it was definitely a lot. But in that moment, it was like, I was able to recognize that this fear was good. This fear was, hello, Hannah and Lydia. This fear was showing me that I cared and that I wanted to do this. I wanted to go to Canada. So as much as it freaking scared me, I submitted that visa. I was like, this means that I'm meant to go here. Like, the fact that I care enough about this to feel this pressure, it's like I was kind of using it as a compass to navigate whether it was like, wasn't like, you know, comparing, it's like, was this right for me to do, or is it just because it's something I don't know? And I'd wanted to travel overseas for quite a few years before I actually took the plunge and moved here. I had a little bit of a vision board back when I was in high school, and it definitely involved overseas travel. I didn't really know what the purpose of it was, but I did know that if I didn't go, I would regret it because, you know, like, we don't really know much about what's going on here. We're living on a floating rock in space somewhere. We don't know much else besides the fact that we're here now. And the thing is, what are you going to do with that time? You know, like, are you going to stay in a place where you're not happy or where you kind of feel stagnant? And I think that that's where we should be afraid. It's like, if you're moving, then the fear is probably good. It's guiding you in that direction that you're meant to go. What worries me is that fear that comes from being stagnant for a long time. I feel like, because the thing is, as I said, you can't avoid your fear. So say you're curious about doing something, but you feel that fear inside of you. So you just go, oh no, that's wrong. It doesn't matter how long you avoid it for. Fear will always, it'll always surface. So you can be sitting around doing the same shit you've done every day, and perhaps it's just not something you connect with anymore. You're going to feel that stress in the background. That's fear. You're still going to feel it there. There's no way to avoid fear. So you might as well become best friends with it and work with it and let it show you what it's there to show you. Fear is there to show you shit. It's not just there for fun. It's there to, as I said, biologically protect you. But it's also there to connect you with what you're passionate about, what you give a shit about, and what you actually want to spend your time and your energy doing. And when you realize that, you know, and you are able to see that, hey, there's nothing wrong with me feeling afraid. Everyone feels fear. Just because I'm afraid doesn't mean I'm not capable, doesn't mean that I'm not worthy of the success that I desire, doesn't mean all of these things. It just means that you're a human being. And you're doing the best you can to navigate that experience. And that's all it means. It doesn't have to mean any more than that. So I guess that's my little ramble on about fear there. And now I'm going to talk about, I've already kind of talked about how it can affect your relationship with yourself. As I said, depending on your perception of fear will depend on whether it feels like it's something that's weighing you down or whether it's something that's lifting you up. And maybe even it feels like it's kind of forcing you off sometimes because it's like, as I said, it's an uncomfortable feeling. So it doesn't necessarily feel like you have control over it. But the aim isn't to get control. The aim isn't to like go, I need to control my fear. It's just, the aim is to befriend it. That's it. Imagine that your fear is like someone banging on the door of your house, and the longer you go without answering the door, the louder the banging gets. But the thing is, when you open the door, let fear in, you can sit down and have a cup of tea with that motherfucker, and he, she, whoever you envision fear to be, they're not really as scary as what we think. That's how I like to see it anyway. So now when we go into relationships, I really want to touch on that because obviously this is where I do a lot of my work when I work with my clients. It's all about relationships. Obviously this stems from our relationship with self, but it's really important to see how your relationship with fear affects your loved ones, affects the people that you care about, because it can provide that extra motivation that you might be, that might push you over the edge as well. Like it's kind of, you know, it's hard when you're like, oh, I feel like I'm letting myself down because of my relationship with fear, which, by the way, you're never letting yourself down. Everything's happening to you, happening for a reason. It's happening for you. That's how I like to see things. But I do really believe that a lot of my own growth has really been excelled by understanding myself through my relationships with others and how my relationship with myself directly affects my relationship with others. That's why I think it's such a great way to look at this. And the reality is that when it comes to your intimate relationships, this can be close friends as well, guys. This doesn't have to be like your partner, but I am going to be talking about it in regards to, like, you know, your partner, you know, that's how I'm going to be talking about it. But as I said, you can envision a close friend or someone you really fucking care about as well. It'll do the same thing. But you have to think about the fact that fear as well. So fear that feels like it's like controlling us and holding us back. As I said, it comes from the source of it is the unknown. But also what can amplify our fear is our insecurities or our limiting beliefs. So I like to see these things as like a container. So it's like, this is what I believe about my capabilities or myself. So the thing is, you can move this. This is movable. This is just usually programmed based off our childhood, the experiences we had, the people we surrounded ourselves with. And I think, you know, it's a really great learning opportunity to realize that you actually have control over this bar that you set for yourself. It just doesn't feel like it when you're, you know, when you've been living a certain way for so long, it feels like it's a part of you. But in reality, your perception of your capabilities, your abilities, what you think you're worth, that can all change, and you can change it in an instant by, you know, that's why this mindset, inner work, but also somatic work and releasing energy from the body is so important and so powerful, because it allows us to raise that bar and go, oh, I thought I could only do this, but I've realized that this was other people's beliefs that were put on me when I was younger. And while it's fucking annoying that that's what happened, if I take responsibility for it, I can raise the bar here, and suddenly I don't feel as contained in what I can or can't do. And it's really important to acknowledge how your limiting beliefs and what you think about yourself can either directly correlates with your relationship with fear. Because if you feel like you're not good enough, especially in your relationships, if you constantly feel like self-conscious, whether it be around your body, you're like, oh, I'm never gonna look good enough. You know, how does he like me? How does she like me? I'm ugly. I'm this. I'm unmotivated. I have no like goals in life. I just don't think I could ever go anywhere. I'm just gonna keep doing what I know. You can see that having a low self-esteem and like choosing to live by those belief systems can make fear feel even more scary, because it's like that basically the more that you give away your power, and by what I mean by that is the more that you feel like your life is not in your control, the scarier life feels. So what I mean by that is if you genuinely believe it's like the reason I can't pursue the career that I want to pursue is because the system's rigged and you've got to know the right people and I can never get access to those people. You can see how this mindset leaves the individual that believes it feeling powerless. They genuinely believe they don't have control of their career, of where they're going in life. And that's an example. I really want you to question and perhaps even get a piece of paper and get real with yourself and write down all of the, you know, all of those thoughts that come to mind, those limiting beliefs, those fears, and find those statements like, I'm never going to be healthy because I don't understand food. Again, that's a limiting belief. And the reason we feel this way is a combination of conditioning or lack of access to resources. And the thing is, we're in the 21st century, we're blessed to have Google at our fingertips, and we have that ability to access more information than ever before. So oftentimes, it's not your inability to be a certain person or to live to a certain, to a certain standard. It's usually, you know, before the resources are there, before you pursue the resources, the knowledge, put in the time, invest in yourself, whatever it is, things can feel like they're out of your reach. But in reality, the only thing that's in the way of you going from where you are now to where you want to be is your belief in yourself, because that's it. Like, what you believe is true. Good old Henry Ford or whatever he said. It's like, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. He's so right. So every belief you have is so powerful. Every word that you speak, everything that you think about yourself, it is manifesting your reality. I haven't really talked that much about manifestation, but that's kind of a little starter on it there. So it's really important to get real with yourself and ask, where am I playing small? Like, where am I holding myself back? And the thing is, it's really important to acknowledge that it's not your fault either. Like, there's no blame. Blame doesn't have to go anywhere. Blame doesn't serve anybody. So it's like realizing, like, this is who I am. I am worthy in my imperfections. I am not broken. I am just expanding. I'm constantly growing and learning about myself. Having that mentality allows you to go, let's get real. Let's write down some things. Let's realize where belief systems just aren't serving me anymore. And then that's when you kind of realize those thoughts, that's when you can become aware of them and actually shift them and move them around and basically release those beliefs that don't serve you anymore. And I don't know if you know much about neuro-linguistic programming. It's a course I did about a year ago, which I love, and it's all about how powerful basically the words that you speak, the things that you think, how powerful they are in regards to your life and the impact that it has and the quality of your experience. It all stems from there, but it also stems from the energy that you hold in your body from your past experiences too. And that's what I've started doing with my clients, a lot of combination of that mindset work, but also that somatic work and releasing the energy that's been stored in our bodies. But anyway, back to what I was talking about, fear. So understanding where you're limiting yourself in your belief systems, and then combining that with your perception of fear. When you are able to assess those together, you can quite quickly readjust your relationship with fear. If you know, as I said, you have to get kind of comfortable in the discomfort, because that's it. Ultimately, when you shift your perception, that's another example of kind of like leaving. It is an example of leaving that comfort zone, because you're letting go of who you thought you were, what you thought you knew, all those things. And it's fucking scary, honestly. Like, some of the biggest periods of growth that I've experienced, I'm shitting you not, just before, like, when I'm right on the cusp of like releasing something that didn't serve me, it feels like my life and my world is falling apart. That's the real truth. Growth isn't all sunshine and rainbows. What we tend to see online as well is just we see people's success, but we don't see that background stuff. We don't see the fact that in order for them to live the way that they are living, and like, you know, whether we, you know, they're doing things that we can't do, like, that's not true. It's just that you believe you can't do it. And the thing is, they probably believe they couldn't too, and they had to work through that shit and realize, fuck, I have to like release who I think I am. And in that process, you allow space for new beliefs to come in, and it hurts. It's like, it's not, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's definitely a challenging experience, but you've got to choose your hurt too, because the thing is, staying small, not, you know, like, I guess, like, remaining in that space where you're too afraid to like question what you think you know and get to know yourself more, there's obviously that sacrifice of staying in that place. So there's challenge staying where you are, just as there is challenge choosing to readjust how you see things. So you kind of got to choose your challenge, choose your hard, whatever that is. But anyway, so depending on your beliefs about yourself, the level of security you have in your being, that's really going to go hand in hand with how heavily fear is going to impact your relationships with your intimate partner, and with your partner's relationships, whatever. So, you know, if I'm, for example, really insecure around my body, what I'll probably be doing, the reason I'll feel insecure about it, is because I'll feel like I don't have the power over how I'm perceived. It's like, oh, my worth comes from how I look and from how others see me. So because I perceive that my worth comes, like, I'm getting a lot of my value from my physical form, but I'm also not assessing what I believe about my body. I'm assessing my worth through what I think other people think of my body. So you can see that could put immense pressure on my partner in my relationship, especially in the bedroom, or when it comes to like our intimacy together, you know, the self-conscious thoughts and things will come up. And the thing is, a lot of the time, whether we mean to or not, when we don't believe we have power over something, we tend to project it onto other people. And You know, and I've had this happen in my life before, you know, I'm speaking from experience. The thing is, when you're self-conscious in the example that I'm sharing with you, my body, for example, thank God I'm not anymore, I've worked through that shit, but you'll put a lot of pressure on your partner to make you feel good because you think that they have control over your feelings. Like you've, as I said, you've, your perception is that your worth comes from outside of you, from what other people think of your body. So you're going to expect your partner to fill that gap that you perceive you cannot fill yourself. So that you can, as I said, there's a lot of pressure there. So now you're going to believe in your mind that it's his responsibility that you feel good about yourself. And of course, it kind of sounds funny when I say that because like you can't control, other people can't really control what you feel. I know that we've been raised to think that, you know, people make us feel a certain way, but in reality, it's our perception of what's happening and where we've given our power away and where we think it's other people's responsibility. That is the mindset that gives our power away. That's the perception that leaves us feeling like we're not enough unless someone thinks a certain way about us. So that was just one example of how that can obviously have a negative impact on your relationships, and also it can cause unnecessary strain, put unnecessary responsibility where, to be honest, it isn't your partner's responsibility that you feel good in your body. Of course, like a great partner, and this is just for men and women, of course you want to be hyping each other up, being like, oh damn, you're looking fine, like of course that's some good shit. The thing is, they amplify what you believe about yourself. Your partner isn't responsible for being the source of what you believe about yourself, if that makes sense. So that was just one example of how obviously your fears can have a negative impact. They can also have, you know, again, like a positive impact, if, as long as you're aware of the fact that, again, as long as your views on fear is like, you know, the reason I'm feeling this is because I care about where I'm going, I'm challenging myself, you know, it's like I'm trying to do something I haven't done before. And because our biological response is to be afraid of things that we don't understand, it's like when you understand all of that, it's like you feel, you're instantly freed. And that doesn't mean you won't get weighed down sometimes. But the thing is, remember, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you. You don't need to be fixed. Those emotions are not bad. They're your friends. Like, you know, your good old, what do you call it? Like happiness, excitement. Just imagine them as little people in your brain that are just like coming in to the house every now and again for a cup of tea. You don't know when they're going to come. You don't know how long they're going to stay. The thing is, you'd be fucking weird if you're trying to control them. Like imagine if excitement comes over and excitement just wanted to hang out for 20 minutes and you're like, you have to stay for my scones. You have to stay for this. Like excitement's going to be like, I'm not vibing with you. You're kind of controlling me right now. Excitement's going to fuck off and excitement probably won't come back anytime soon because you've kind of scared it. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's how I love to see my emotions. And the thing is, excitement, happiness, those emotions that we kind of, we associate with being good are exactly the same as fear and sadness, the emotions that we associate with being bad. Like sadness is still just a person that comes around. Doesn't really know, like sadness just comes around, hangs out. And you know what we do with those emotions? What we tend to do is sadness will show up and we'll be like, fucking hell, I don't want you in my house. Like that's not very nice. Like, you know, sadness is just like, I just wanted to come here. I just had some stuff to show you. So you can see in this kind of analogy how your attachments to your emotions being good or bad, whether you're aware of it or not, tends to be how we actually process. We like, you know, we invite them in, we force them to stay, or we try and keep them out. And you can see how obviously it's actually our response to those emotions that tends to be the source of our issues. But that's really good to know because that means that you have the power to reshape that and fix that and, like, you know, become better, closer friends with your good old mate sadness. You know, when sadness comes around, it's like, okay, let's do it, you know, instead of trying to resist it. So anyway, it's the same thing with fear. The, you know, seeing fear and seeing every emotion in an unbiased, objective way, try to release those thoughts that things are good and bad, because that's what causes a lot of our suffering. So anyway, I'm going to wrap up now. I've yabbered on a little bit here, but I hope you got something out of this episode today. And honestly, this stuff is super, super powerful. It's really, really cool to like have these chats and like you know, explore the different perspectives over an emotion, in this case fear, so we can actually see what our options are and we can come to terms with the realization that we actually have a choice to do, a choice to make. And the thing is, that doesn't mean you're to blame. It just means that when you take that responsibility, you have the power. You are in an empowered state because you actually recognize within yourself that you can make the changes that you seek. You don't have to like wait for other people to help you. You don't have to wait for things to be right on the outside. You can start doing the work now. The external world mirrors our internal world. It's not the other way around. It's not like, I think people like, we need to fix the external world and then that'll fix our internal world. But as I said, I don't even like the word fix because nothing's broken. But when you focus on this, the things you can control, you will see your external world shift around you. And when you start seeing that, you'll become obsessed with it. And as much as it's challenging, the hardest part is starting. The hardest part is shifting that initial perspective. Anyway, I'm going to stop before I keep going on forever. But I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And yeah, I'm going to be uploading this to Spotify now. So thanks a lot.